Republic of Iran, and it's a great pleasure for us to do so in order to converge Muslims. This is a great stride towards Islamic unity in light of the events unfolding in the world. These are changes under Islam and in line with unity in the Islamic world, and also aimed at ending the global arrogance led by the U.S. We, praise be to God, witnessed the collapse of the big superpower, the former Soviet Union, in the 1990s. So we can witness the great Islamic uprising and the destruction of the forces just as we see them collapsing each day. Under the auspices of God, the Islamic Republic of Iran, thanks to the leadership of the late Imam Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Khomeini, and His Excellency President Ahmadinejad, truly serves as a model of resistance against the West's domination, and serves as a model for the Muslim world and the Islamic Ummah. We have learned lessons from Imam Khomeini and Hassan Banna, and we continue to learn from our other brethren who are alive. What matters for me is that a Muslim ruler must be humble, just as the Prophet's household members were models for us in terms of being patient and representing and being a pioneer in Islam, as well as justice and making sacrifices. I am telling you, and God knows, that the number one figure of the Muslim world is indeed the leader of Iran, as he speaks out bravely against the corrupt regimes. He spoke against the corrupt regime of Egypt until it collapsed. I am proud of President Ahmadinejad. Patience has surprised me, and his insistence on scientific development of the Islamic Ummah has angered the West, that does not want the Ummah to make progress. The West only thinks of itself and does not care about others. I hope Iran is a model in all aspects, including justice, unity among Shia and Sunni, human rights, and respect for humanity. God willing, we will witness a unity in the Muslim Ummah, and we want to always see the Ummah ruled justly and helping humanity become prosperous.
I want to speak about the Quranic verses I heard a few minutes ago. The verses show that the Ummah should try to stand united and that this unity should be created. They also indicate that if human beings act according to God's orders, they will achieve unity. Then the time comes when humans are obliged to convey the good message and also promote virtues and prohibit vices. God the Almighty put affection between the hearts of Ummah to unite them and solve all differences among them, so they remember God's invitation. Hence, I invite all Muslims to modify the relations between the leadership and others, because this strengthens unity among the Ummah. And there are no worries if the Islamic Republic of Iran has the best leadership within the framework of the Islamic Revolution. We implore God to extend this good to all people, and this nation will become the model of unity and self-correction and within its own uprising. As today's humanity is at a crossroads, salvation or self-destruction. The world is now facing different problems, including economic ones. These problems could not be solved unless we follow an Islamic order. This is what the scholars have asked West to do, using Islamic orders. We should offer this solution to the whole world with God's help.
The world Muslims now see what is unfolding across the globe in light of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979. Although the arrogant powers tried to prevent events similar to the Islamic Revolution, they were finally defeated, and now so many victories have come about in a short period. And God willing, we will witness similar events in the Muslim world with the leadership of the leader of the Islamic Revolution. The other point is that the countries should now stand by Iran, because we should not forget that Iran has been the only nation that has been on the side of those nations. Now it's their turn to join hands with Iran to support other nations who are seeking freedom.
Your Excellency, it's not the first time that I'm in your presence. As for the Balkans, I bear witness that the Islamic Republic of Iran, led by Ayatollah Khamenei, gave us this opportunity to live in the Balkans and to be a living Andalusia and not a dead one. We apologize for our negligence in the name of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We also try to remember the February 18, 1979, a date when Imam Khomeini returned home triumphantly and we celebrate this occasion. There's a reason that we cannot figure out the Shah of Iran and the Pharaoh of Egypt fell on the same day. Isn't there a hikmat about this? We should tell historians that the world has reached the point of no return after the Islamic revolution of Iran and after the efforts Imam Khomeini made in the name of the Islamic Ummah. We in Europe believe that this revolution was greater than the French Revolution. We have come here to request Your Excellency and the Iranian people to let us share your happiness in these moments. These remarks are made by a Muslim from the Balkans Peninsula in Europe.
In these blessed days, I would like to give you the good news of the failure of the U.S. plot in Iraq to portray a distorted image of Iran despite all its support for the world nations. I would also like to inform you of the failure of the tech freeze, who were fully supported and are still being backed by the U.S. America continues to keep silent on the tech freeze in Iraq and continues to provide them with financial and logistic support. The tech freeze are still trying to spread sedition in Iraq. Their latest sedition was targeting the pilgrims between Dujail and Samarra. Dozens of Iranian and Iraqi pilgrims were martyred in that attack. I would like to declare before the ulama that the U.S. plot was foiled thanks to the continued efforts of Iran and Iraq and the leaders of the two countries. I only can thank the leaders of Iran and Iraq for their efforts and support. I would also like to tell you about the feelings of our Egyptian brothers. They contacted me from the Liberation Square and said, "We almost gave up our uprising, but the remarks of the leader of Iran strengthened our determination and encouraged us to stay the course and defeat the regime. And this was because of the speech of the leader of the Islamic Revolution. The word of Allah is exalted to the heights. These are the words of all our ulama."
I cannot do without appreciating the leader of the Islamic Republic. The leader spoke on two occasions during the Egyptian revolution. Then leader encouraged us and underlined the significance of the revolution and that this is a resonation of the Islamic revolution of Iran, which revived Islam. God willing, the Iranian model will also come about in Egypt. I remind you that all those in the Liberation Square said prayers. This clearly indicates what is in their hearts. It's Islam that made them act to get rid of the Pharaoh, just as Iran had got rid of the evil court. We will also achieve this goal soon. Iran and Egypt are two big nations of the region, and if they work together, Islam will change.
I am so happy to be in the presence of the leader of the Islamic Revolution. This gathering is what triggered the popular uprisings, and what we see today in the Arab world is in fact the same thing that happened in Iran during the time of Imam Khomeini and also the leader of the Islamic Revolution, who have safeguarded the line of Imam Khomeini and revolution. What Imam Khomeini sought is now being carried out by Imam Khamenei. Today, the global developments are at odds with the interests of the U.S. On the contrary, they are in favor of the resistance and the nations who want to play a role. We are on a historic path. What happened in Tunisia is continuing in Bahrain, Libya, Yemen, etc. If nations insist, and if Iran, Syria, Egypt, and Turkey are united, we will be able to change the world order. Your Excellency, Imam Khamenei, and these great revolutions will play a key role in drawing up a plan for the future. Now what is taking place in the world is of Islamic nature, and God willing, Israel, which in Imam Khomeini's words is a cancerous tumor, will one day be destroyed.
You are congregating today under the title of unity, unity among Muslims and in the Islamic world. Unity is definitely the key issue. Most of the problems of the Muslims will be solved if they manage to become truly united. And we should all try to bring hearts closer, not only words. When hearts get close enough, our hands and actions will also become closer. Today is a historic moment for the Islamic world. We should understand this moment and we shouldn't neglect it. We have never witnessed such a situation in the Islamic world. By saying at this point, I don't mean that the Islamic world has been silent and indifferent during the past 30 years. I believe and I think the reality is that during all these years, the movement by scholars and reformists and the sacrificed bloods, teachings of the thinkers, and finally, Iran's Islamic Revolution has affected the Muslim world. It changed hearts and showed the right direction, and motives developed and emerged in this opportunity. This is a crucial moment. It can solve issues of the Islamic world, but it can also create more problems if we fail to realize the importance of this moment and make the best use of it. Millions of people are out on the streets. This is unprecedented. It was the same move that saved Iran. This movement could not have been effective if political parties, blocs, and politicians were playing the main role. Participation of millions of people has an effect that is incomparable with anything else. However, it's their faith that is taking them out. First, people should come. Second, they should remain there until victory. And third, they should safeguard the victory. These need religious and Islamic faith. The Great French Revolution was mentioned here. The French Revolution was a people's victory, but that victory did not last long. The French Revolution took place in 1789. 11 years later, in 1800, the monarchy was formed again. Napoleon came to power. Then Napoleon passed away. The same family that was ousted by the revolution came to power. It took years. Different kings ruled the country until 1860. Therefore, the revolution was carried out by the people, but they couldn't save it. We could save this revolution thanks to our faith, thanks to Islam, thanks to the blowing of the spirit of Quran in people and their hearts. That is how the continuation of such movements are guaranteed. Today, people are at the forefront in Egypt, Tunisia, and some other countries. This must be directed. Enemies are trying to portray this as non-Islamic. This is wrong. It is definitely Islam. We can see this in Egypt's past. The movement by the Egyptian people today show the same thing. The slogans and the presence of people in Friday prayers prove this. Therefore, it is definitely Islamic. Although the enemies are trying to prevent this Islamic movement from consolidating, this has to be reinforced. The U.S. is the core problem in the Muslim world. The presence of the oppressing colonial powers in the Muslim world has always dealt the heaviest blow to the Islamic identity of the people. This is visible from East Asia, from Indonesia, Malaysia, and India to Africa. It has always been the presence of the colonial power that has weakened nations and sucked their bloods and weakened their determination. Today, that oppressing and colonial power is the U.S. Other countries are marginal. The U.S. presence is the main problem. It's the main misery of the Islamic world. This must be ended. The U.S. must be kept away and should be weakened. Fortunately, it has been weakened. The U.S. today is not what it was 20 or 30 years ago. It has extremely weakened. This should sustain. We should not be disappointed. What happened in early Islam is our model. I don't want to claim that all happenings today are like early Islam. No, the world has changed. Motives and forms have changed. But the early Islam is an artistic and complicated painting that portrays different sections of the life of the Islamic Ummah from the beginning till the end. We can compare these sections with our own life. There are two types of people in dealing with the enemies. Some people are frightened when they see the hegemony of the U.S., its military might, its diplomatic power, its propaganda power and its money. They say we can't do anything. Why should we waste our power when we can't do anything? We have the same type of people now and also during the revolution. We had people who said, why are we bothering ourselves this much? Be satisfied with a minimum and put an end to it. In the past 30 years or more, God has treated us with as much goodwill as we have towards Him. We had many problems, but we emerged triumphant from all of them. Economic isolation is no small thing, but we put this isolation under our feet. Only recently they told us they would no longer sell us gasoline. We are an oil-rich country, but we import gasoline. And they tell us they will not sell us gasoline anymore. This is just one example among hundreds. Our forces came trusting in God. Because of this, in less than a year, we managed to become independent of gasoline imports. We achieved this. They imposed war on us, 8 years of war. They put us up against an extremely evil enemy like Saddam Hussein, and they supported him wholeheartedly. Thank God we managed to weather the storm. With faith in God, we were able to advance in every arena. In the field of science, we have also moved forward. They have mentioned our nuclear program. We have succeeded in solving the nuclear issue and have pressed forward. And today the West continues to debate the issue, but they've fallen far behind. They insult us, spread propaganda, pile on the pressure, but they can do nothing. Time is on our side. We are steadily moving forward, and they are distressed by this. They kick up a fuss. That's what happens when you go forward by putting faith in God. These youths that study nuclear science, they came to me 2 years ago and insisted on seeing me. They set up an exhibition right here so that I might observe their activities close up. They are all young men of faith. Some say scientists mustn't be men of faith. Religion must be ignored. What I saw refuted that claim. All of them are religious youths, full of enthusiasm and sincerity. This is how it is in various sectors in our country. This experience is there for the world of Islam to see. Of course, the people of Egypt and other countries are, thank God, brimming with Islamic ideologies. We are familiar with the Islamic ideologies that were common in Egypt down the ages. It was in Friday prayers that I said that Egypt was the first country to familiarize itself with the Western culture. Napoleon brought Western culture to Egypt, and it was the Egyptian society that first recognized and experienced the flaws of this culture. Sheikh Muhammad Abdu, Sayyid Jamal, and others were based in Egypt. They were the first to experience Western culture firsthand and to fight it. And after that, thank God, we see Islamic thinking in Egypt and many Western countries. Islam has been beneficial to all. Today these people are active. There must be a conscious effort to prevent the enemy from putting obstacles in the Egyptian people's way, from pushing the people's movement off course, from facilitating the continuation of the regime of the pharaohs in Egypt, which could then spread elsewhere. We must be on our guard. This is the responsibility of the Egyptian people and the Muslim world at large. They are no different. There must be no difference between nations. The first manifestation of Islamic unity must be empathy between nations, so that when one nation is happy, the rest are happy. And when one nation is downcast, the rest are also. When one is in trouble, the rest consider themselves a partner in the struggle. When one asks for help, others rush to the rescue. This is our duty, and this is how we will go forward. We accept this holy duty, and without doubt, God will assist the faithful. We must appreciate gatherings such as this. This closeness of hearts is very precious. The enemy wants to take full advantage of the issue of Shia and Sunni, and the disputes between the Shia and the Sunni. The enemies of Islam, those who speak of discord between Shia and Sunni, have no respect for either, or any respect for the greats of Islam, of Islamic scholars. They have other intentions. We must overcome all this and solidify our unity, and God willing, unity will guarantee the success of the world of Islam.